believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laugh. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Possess inside. Remember the laughter. Let the laughter remind us how it used to be. The laughter reminds us how it used to be. Because, you know, we laugh about what we experience in our past futures, you know. So we want them to be able to look back and laugh and be reminded of how it used to be, all the fun, all the joy, all the love that was shared, okay? Learning how to love yourself is the greatest love of all, okay? So good evening, and welcome to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block. Focusing on the youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am happy and so glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge God with a scripture and a prayer. And then we'll get right to it. So I'm going to introduce our host for today. And God has brought us together to serve in the way that he would have us to do our part in bringing awareness to what we need for our youth. Okay, so we have Jacqueline Vandegrift, we have Rebecca Johnson, we have Callie Pierce, we have that young youth host, Jacob Ritron. And we want to acknowledge Shania Cox, our young adult host, and of course, our own wrap-up man, biblical with his biblical perspective, our awesome Pastor O from Runner for Christ Ministries. How awesome. Okay, so we'll just start out with our scripture and our prayer, and we got our very own Rebecca Johnson. Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
I'm here. Great. How are you?
Great. Wonderful. Good to hear you. Oh, I'm sorry. We have Ms. Vandegrift, and she's going to do our scripture. Are you with us, Ms. Jackie?
I'm listening. I said, I go with the flow, okay?
Right. You know I need help. That's why God brought us together.
Okay. A living sacrifice to God. Romans 12:1-13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful, Ms. Jacqueline Vandergrift. Thank you ever so much. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and precious Lord, we thank you for waking us up to another day and another chance to do better and be better. We love you and praise you and thank you for your power and mercy and generous grace. We thank you for praying grandmothers, for all the gifts and talents, for every answered prayer and every blessing. We thank you for every opportunity to serve and earn heavenly treasure. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for all those that will participate and for each person listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. Thank you for your patience as we learn and grow and fall short daily. We ask that you continue to show us your favor and cause us to be obedient and do all that we can to help children in need. We ask for your help, Lord, to be sensitive to your voice and quick to respond in a way that pleases you. We ask that you cause each of us to know how we can help on our blocks. Because we know that we can do nothing without you, cause us to desire to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all of these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie and Sister Rebecca, the queens. Thank you. Appreciate you. Okay, bring back the family. Bring back the family. It's a call for the people to wake up, to get engaged, to get involved, and make a difference. It's a calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when faced with a better tomorrow. So who is willing and who is willing to sacrifice and to take the responsibility of making this world a better place for our youth to live in, okay? Who is going to be in charge of passing the torch, running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance and a burden to the community and others all around us. Just picture it. Parents, young people, not having to worry about your adult child going out into the community, terrorizing and make it a bad name for themselves and their family. Okay? So what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges and changes and support and sacrifices, meeting people where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness of what we as parents and community need to do for our youth and our kids, our children, educationally, professionally, spiritually, being totally in tune and involved in every aspect of their learning in life in order for our youth to be good, productive citizens, okay, so that they can contribute and be a contribution positively to society and others all around this beautiful world, okay? All they need is a good foundation, and that foundation comes from parents and community. It comes from you and me, okay? As parents and the community, it comes from me and you, that foundation, that good, solid foundation. Someone did it for us. So we have to do the same for them. Somebody gave us what we needed. So what do we propose to do? Bring back the family, propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we were needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it, okay? It's just simply giving back. Sharing, caring, you know, just love, being a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by. You know, we could give them books. Those are examples of help, books, workbooks, outings, field trips, take them camping, movies, have fun, teach them how to read, teach them how to write. Okay, all the things that we had when we were coming up so that we could have a good quality of life. Think about just having a good quality of life, knowing that the next generation need to have those things. They need to have the same things that we had in order for us to be productive, good productive citizens. Okay, just think about it. Open up your mind to know that, okay, if we don't help our youth now, we will be the victims of not helping later, okay? All this is entwined in that saying. Because we had what we needed. We had what we needed, and we should want to share. We should want to give back. We should want to see the next generation flourish and do better than we do, okay? And it's all what God has given us. And we're just giving back. We're giving back what God has given us. That's it. They have to live like we live. They have to be able to live, okay, and raise families, buy homes, be productive, okay, be able to help others. If we don't show them how to help, how are they going to help if we don't show them how to help? It's changing times. It's a new era. And our youth they're in need of more preparation than we had, okay? And family plays a very important role in that. Family plays a very important role, and we need to be involved, okay? And this is just history in the making. And someone is going to be helped now, later, and in the future by bringing back the family block by block. Imagine. Block by block, if we just get out and everybody just help somebody on their block, I mean, it would just catch on. It would just be a beautiful, 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 beautiful thing because it is beautiful. Some people are doing it, and they're enjoying it, the benefits of it, because we could think about we want our surroundings to be safe. But if we don't help them to get what they need, our surroundings are not going to be safe. Their surroundings are not going to be safe. Where would they be? Imagine where they will be if we don't help them get to the next level of life. Just imagine that. Imagine that. So we're just going to continue to fight this battle and do what it is that we're supposed to do because these are all our kids. Just because we, you know, had them, that don't mean they're not ours. They're all our kids. Just like the scripture said, we are all God's children, all of us, all of us, okay? So imagine that. Do something on your block. Let us know what you're doing. Every month we should be able to come back and say, this is what I did on my block. Okay, this is what we did. This is what I did to help a youth, a child, to get what they need to make it. Okay, it don't even have to be a whole lot. It can just be the simplest things. Having a conversation with a young person, giving them some direction because some of them don't have no direction. Giving them a vision because some of them don't even have a vision. Okay, just giving them something. Whatever somebody gave you, then maybe that's something that you can give back and give them, share. Because if we don't teach them, how are they going to do anything? You know, I hear so many people saying, you know, talking about the young folk that don't know how to do anything. They don't have work ethics. They don't know how to go to work. They, you know, slacking and things like that. But who taught them those behaviors? Who taught them? Who taught them how to be productive? Who taught them how to be productive? Who taught them how to go to work? Who showed them how to have good work ethics? If we don't show them, this is what we're going to get. And we're the next ones to be moved out of the equation, just pushed on. You know, we're going to be, some of us will be in nursing homes and you know, would need care, home care and all those things. Because we go in that direction. So who's going to take care of us? What kind of quality of life will they give us? You know, so we're producing what we're going to see later, okay? All right, so let's get to it, and let's just come together and talk about, you know, things that's going to help our youth get where they need to be in the future. We're going to get an update from Jacob Rip Ron. That's our youth host. And he's pretty busy because he's a senior this year, so he may be joining us, he may not be, but he has his beautiful aunt to help him with to keep up with that update on the scholarship. So we'll give him a few minutes, and he could come in and update us on the scholarship. And that's just telling us let him tell us what it's all about and encourage his peers and the parents to team up and take advantage of the free money that's offered to pay for education. They just have to do the work. Just have to do the work. Write the paper. Whatever that scholarship tells you to do, that's what you have to do in order to get that money. It's worth it. And so they don't tell us about that 100 scholarship program that we have going on. Rebecca is going to talk about the gifts, talents, and about the young folk when they want to decide that they want to move out. Got some tips for that. You know, it's not easy to move out on your own. And you know, if you're able to stay at home with your parents or you know your aunts or your uncles or whoever's letting you live with them, stay as long as you can because you're going to be paying bills and rent the rest of your life. So don't be in such a hurry to to get out there and get on your own and start that process of being responsible or independent, you know, having your own independence and all that because it really costs. It costs. And if you're at home, you know, help out your parents the best that you can. Don't be a slouch. Don't, you know, keep the lights on and, you know, just help them to help you, you know. Buy your own food. Get your job and come in on time. Don't be coming in all types of time of the night and just be respectful of the home. And that your parents and aunts and uncles, they don't mind you being there if you being responsible because if you're responsible at their home, you'll be responsible at your own home once you get out there and get on your own. Okay? Yep. And so we got Miss Jackie and Miss Rebecca, and let's just get started. Hey, whoever wants to go first, hey. You're going to talk about the 1,000 scholarships, or you're going to do the, you want to start first, Rebecca, just go at it.
You know, you went right to a topic that I wanted to touch on about how you can do it two ways. You can do it like I did it if you want to move out, and you can rush out into the world mad and have no savings and no plan. Or you can do it like a guy I met at one of my first jobs, and he lived with his mother until he was 26, and he stacked up his money and worked, and he paid bills at the house, and he left her house and bought a house. And I think that was the better, more wise way to move out. Mm-hmm. But if you want to move out, if you're a young person and you're ready, you think you're ready, you want to be grown and move out, but you don't know what your gifts are, you should spend some time thinking about what your gifts, your interests and your hobbies and your passions are and what that will point you towards as far as work, as far as a way to make a living. So you want to think about what activities make you feel the most alive and engaged, and what are the things that you're naturally drawn to. And I want to go over the assessment tests that you can take. And I want to start with the spiritual gift assessment test on the church website at rfcm.org. Click on Bible classes and then click spiritual gift assessment. And this assessment will give you the answer to which gifts you are strongest in. And you can take it over and over. Like I took it a year ago and I found that teaching was one of my top three gifts. And I took it a year later. And teaching was still at the top, but some of the other gifts are rearranged. Good to pay attention to yourself and to find out what your skills and your gifts are so that you can make a plan and have a savings for the moment when it's time to move out. And like Sister Kathy said, delay that as long as possible. Stack up your chips, have some savings, have a plan, volunteer, try a bunch of different things and see what agrees with you. Also, watch for what doors open. That's a sign from the Most High. If the door opens, especially if you don't have the skills yet, that's a sign for what direction you might want to go in. So the other gifts, the other assessments that you can take to help you, there's one called jobtest.org, and it's a very short one. But at the end of it, it tells you different careers that you might be good in. And then there's another one called the Myers-Briggs 16 Personalities Assessment. And it categorizes you into one of 16 personality types. And you can find that one at 16personalities.com, and you spell, the 16 is not spelled out, it's 16 personalities. And then there's another one, VIA Character Strengths, and you find that one at viacharacter.org/survey. And then there's another one called Enneagram Institute, and you can find that one at eclecticenergies.com. And then there's another one, and it's called Big Five Personality Traits. I don't have a website for that one. But if you put Big Five Personality Traits in the browser, you might find it. And then consider your mental and your practical skills. Are you a quick learner, a problem solver, or are you particularly good at a certain type of task or in certain subjects? Pay attention to that. And then you can set your goals. Define clear goals for yourself based on your interests and your talents. experiment with different projects and see what resonates with you. Be open to adjusting your goals as you learn more about yourself. Keep a journal. Maintain a journal or a digital notebook to record your track of your progress and identify patterns. And we spoke on this before, but it's good to keep mentioning it, that you should embrace failure and don't be discouraged by setbacks, because failure is learning. So you failed, and that's just a clue or a chance to try it again and do it a slightly different way. And then seek guidance. Talk to mentors or career counselors who can provide insights and guidance on how to develop your talents and choose a path that aligns with your gifts. And collect mentors and collect wise counselors and keep them in your phone ready. Keep in a relationship with wise counselors. You can never have too many. And keep in mind that your brain is not fully developed, and it won't be until you're beyond 26. And the world is getting, it's becoming more easy to get fooled out here. So you need people with experience to help you. And I think that's just about all I have on things you can do if you're looking forward to being grown and moving out, but you don't know your gifts.
That's a lot, and that's good. What age do they start that? How young can you start that assessment? Those assessments for the gifts and talents.
You can. I don't think there's an age limit at all on any of them.
The youngest age. How young?
I don't think there's any age parameters at all.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, kids, like the little ones, and I think it's up to the parents to kind of observe them and watch and see what they're doing. And just the littlest things, like what's her name? Biles, the gymnast Biles. What's her name? Something Biles. I've been watching her, and that girl is just awesome with her. She won another world championship, and so I think they said when she was younger that she used to just flip all over the house, flip, be flipping all the time, and so they saw that and start to put her in gymnastics. So that's important for the little ones, you know, to try to get their gifts and talents early. Because you can see it. If you're paying attention to your kids and kids around you, their gifts will jump out at you. They will. I had a niece that we used to do the same thing. She would just flip all over the house, just flip, and then she would run everywhere she would go. My dad used to call her the runner. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe y'all should get her in gymnastics, you know, and put her on the track team. So you have to act when you see these things going on. So, yeah, with the little ones, you get them started early. Yeah. So that was some good information, very good information. And just moving out on your own is a big responsibility. And like I said, you stay home as long as you can, as long as you're not being a burden to the household. Like you said, save your money and stack it up so when you get out there, you can have something. You have somewhere to go. Yeah. So those are some good tips that parents could, you know, talk to their young folk about, you know, and get them on their way to responsibility and some good independence. Good independence. Yeah. Okay. Miss Jackie, Miss We got Sister Pierce with us too today. Sister Pierce, you, I'm sure you're going to have something good to say to us today. So we're going to open up your mic and get you ready for, because we miss you. Okay. And so Miss Jackie, are you with us? And let me see if Jacob Mike can go ahead and do his part.
Yes, I'm with you. So, well, you know what? I would like to paint the picture for our Zoom audience, whether you have grandchildren, nieces, nephews, children, one of the most important things is that we put a plan together for our kids. Even if when they are born in the world or you're carrying them through the process, let's start saving for them. There are ways out here that you can put together educational plans. That's very important for them throughout the years. But now, life has many curveballs and twists to the story and changes things. And sometimes you're thrown off guard and you're not prepared for these things, because you have thrown a curveball. Well, why in our dreams we came up with the 100 Scholarship Program? It takes research. It takes endurance. It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes consistency. But if there's a will, there's a way. God has opened windows and doors for you to be blessed, but you have to put action to it. Faith without work is dead. So you can put actions together, and that's one of the things we started working on with the 100 scholarships, because you can get money to go to school if you really want to. Or do you sit and say, okay, well, I'll put in for a student loan? Well, young people, you're putting your parents at risk, and a lot of times they are not in a position to pay for that type of money over the years. So let's put a stop to getting ourselves deeper in debt. If you have little ones, you need to call Miss Kathy into the show, and we can set you up with a financial advisor that could help you with as little as $25 a month, putting up for your children for their scholarships. But we're talking about the ones now that's in the 11th grade, the 12th grade, and some of the ones that are going to start school in January. So that brings up me to what we were going to have Mr. Jacob to talk about, but I think he had another engagement and he was going to try to break away. But is he on the phone, Miss Kathy? So I'm going to read what he wanted to speak about. Miss Lexis. We call her Miss Lexi, a very young lady that graduated in June. She did not let that twist of that curveball hold her down. She pushed through some barriers that it would have been hard for some people, even grown people, to push through. But she was able to push through because she had a good support system, like with Miss Kathy, okay? And so she won a scholarship. She followed all directions. She went in and she put in for this scholarship. Well, that scholarship opened up the doors for her, and she was able to receive additional scholarships. So she's on her road to focusing on that 100 scholarships. Honor Society members accept Lexi Paso L. Honor Society is a premier organization dedicated to the recognition of academic and professional success. Our mission is to facilitate members who to realize their highest potential through the advancements of academics, leadership, and networking. In addition to a nationally recognized distinction, some of the other benefits you have: premium access to an Honor Society as an Honor Society member are scholarship platforms, free access to Career Inside guidebook, and it goes into the dental, vision, hearing, health discount plans. So in essence, they have a lot of different things for our young people. And the next one is, dear Alexis, congratulations. You are invited to the Honor Society accepting a distinguished and the largest academic society in the U.S. And she has to apply for a scholarship. She applied for that scholarship. The deadline is 12th. And we want to salute Miss Alexis for being consistent. She graduated in June. She will start school in January. It's to say that because a curveball was thrown at her, probably with a left-hand twist, she didn't let it stop her. So congratulations, Miss Alexis, because we are so proud of you. And we're also proud of any other young people that has stepped up to say, I am on board. So we want to thank you. Some of the scholarships that people put in, they haven't heard back from yet, but we're looking forward to that. Now, the thing about it is, Bring Back the Family is a nonprofit organization, and for the donations that have came in, we appreciate if somebody wants to help a young person with their college. We appreciate that. They're able to donate and specify what they want to donate for, because, you know, it costs money to go to school. And, you know, it's hard to keep they want to keep their grades up so they can get more scholarships. But let's step out, and that is the main thing. And for the ones that have donated, we truly appreciate you. Now, let's look at this. School, this is a new journey for young people. They were protected in high school. The teacher might say, well, you better get that work in, that assignment in. But when it's time to go to college, you have to meet deadlines. They don't care. So we need to, people that might want to step up and be support counselors to these young people as they go off to college, be a mentor to them as they go off to college. They might want to do a monetary thing for them as they go off to college. But let's step up and do something. And so I turn it back over to you, Miss Kathy, and I appreciate congratulations, Miss Lexis, and we look forward to more people receiving scholarships. Thank you.
Yes, congratulations, Alexis. And like she said, all we have to do is, you know, introduce them to it, give them a little push them a little bit more, and then push them over the edge. And they'll go. They'll do it. You know, you might have to go an extra step because Miss Jackie went the extra step because once she went to school and she found all these roadblocks and, you know, she didn't know quite what questions to ask. So Miss Jackie went up there and was representing her and asked all the right questions and got through all those roadblocks for her, and that opened the door for her to go ahead and just soar the way that she's going to continue to soar. So, and that encouraged her, and it let her know that you have to not be afraid to ask questions, and you have to keep pushing. You can't let nobody tell you no. Or, well, no, we don't have this. We don't know. We'll ask more questions. Well, show me. Well, show me what I could do next. Because I'm not going out the door until you show me or tell me what it is that I could do to get, you know, what I came here for. So, yeah. So she, and our kids, they still need us. They need us to help them. They need us to push them, you know. And so. That was the case of Alexis. She was pushed, and she was helped. And sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone and not just tell them, well, do you have to go? Come pick me up, take me up here, and we're going to go together and do what it is we have to do. Okay? Just get them on the road. Get them on the road to success. And once they know that they can do, and once they watch you do and see how you're forceful, and you know how to ask the questions and know how to maneuver around, then that's how they learn. That's how they learn. But if we just let them just sit back and sit at the house and play video games and just be not responsible, then that's what we're going to get. So they need a big push. Sister Pierce, are you with us? Did you want to have anything to say? We'd appreciate you if you come in and say something. We really miss you. And I know you're big on education, and you're still out there helping the youth on your block. And if she does, she'll come on in. Your mic is open. I just want to say, just let us know what you're doing on your block. If you're doing anything to help the youth on your block, let us know, inform us so that other people get, you know, energized and charged by this. I know that Keela, Ms. Freeman, and they call her Big Mama. Once you get a nickname, I can never think of your real name. So Ms. Kaywine, she came on the show and talked about suicide, and then she talked about, I can't remember what the other subject was, but her granddaughter started the Cool Kids Book Club. And Cats Kids is a part of that Cool Kids Book Club. And so the reward that she gives them for reading their books, when we go and read every Saturday in the evening, we go and we read, we have something to eat, we fellowship, and then we play games. And so one of the rewards that she gives is she takes them on different outings. And so this past last weekend, Miss Big Mama, ooh, his nickname. Anyway, she came on the show, like I said, took the a group, some of Cat's kids, and her, all the kids that's involved in the book club, in the Cool Kids Book Club, and Miss Freeman Keela went with them. And they went camping, took the kids camping, and they had a really good time. And it was, you know, they got out, they were about an hour and a half away from home, away from the neighborhood, and away from the community, exploring and learning how to do other things. And so they really had a great time. And so those are the things that bring back the family, promotes and love and just want, you know, you to do for the kids on your block. Just give them something. Give them something. Okay? All righty. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have, let me see. If anybody have anything that they want to say, have a word, you are welcome to press 1 and you can be heard. Okay? Well, open your mic. You've been listening. You have some ideals, and you have some young folk in college or in school or high school and need some scholarships. We want them to get in on this 100 scholarship challenge and write some papers and do whatever that scholarship tell you to do, and you could get some money for college. You never know. Like Ms. Jackie say, crumbs make a whole cake. So, and money adds up. It adds up. So, if you have a kid in college or going to college or about to graduate from high school, or even if in their 10th, 11th grade or 9th grade, 8th grade, get them started writing papers and get them used to doing the research as far as how to apply for scholarships to go to college to get their education paid for. Lots of money out there, lots of money out there. You want to think Runner for Christ Ministries for donating to bring back the family. They're awesome, awesome. So we just thank you, and that those funds will be used to bring back the family, block by block. For the kids, yes, and they appreciate it. Let's see. If you want to have a word to say, you can. And if not, we will go ahead and bring on our wrap up person, the awesome Oak. So you can have a word to say about what we've talked about today. Get into that 100 scholarship challenge. Talked about leaving home early, how you go out and be able to get on your own early if you decide that you want to move out of your home, your parents' home. Had a lot of tips on that. Be patient, though. Be patient because you're going to be paying bills forever. And so I always tell the young folks, go to school, get your education, get, you know, because, and just take that time out to do it. Take that time out, those 4 years that you commit to getting your education, because you're going to be working the rest of your life. You're going to be working. And so you might as well have what you need. You might as well have a career and make the funds and the money that you could be comfortable with, you know, where you could save and shop and be able to travel all at the same time. So it's just a matter of putting that time in, taking 4 years of your life, or maybe more if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or something, and just doing that and being committed to it. And knowing that it's going to pay off in the long run. Okay? All right. Let's see. Kathy. Anybody? Yes. Hello. Hello.
Good evening.
How you
good
doing,
evening.
Sister Pierce? Good to hear
I'm doing
from
wonderful.
You.
Good showing you. I'd just like to make maybe one or two comments. Detroit Federal, Dearborn Federal Credit Union, they offer the young people $50 a year in payback. If they maintain $100 in their account, they will give them $50 every year. If you put that, if you start when they are first born, you can almost receive $1,000 for them free just by keeping that money in their account. So, yes, and you have to start saving for these children early to help with their schooling. So that's one place that I would recommend. I have my grandchildren's accounts there, DFCU. And like I said, it's a cashback program. Every year, if they maintain $100 in their account, they will give them $50 every year. Also, I have a one of my granddaughters is her first year away. She's at Tennessee State University down in Nashville, and I'm so proud of her because she went away to school. She did her first year here at Schoolcraft College and got a little handle on what to expect in college, and so she did real well. So she went off the second year, and she's down in Tennessee and doing real well. Parents, you have to start early trying to get in some sort of financing if you want your children to go to college, because college is very expensive. Well, once they get into school, if they get good grades, they will be offered scholarships from the school if they get good grades. So most of these schools nowadays, they want to make sure they don't give kids money right away like they used to, because there was too many people wasting the money. So they now they want to make sure that you really are going to be committed to school. And so right now, this, if you go to school when you're young, this is going to be probably the best time of your life, because after then you do have to face the real world and get a job and try to support yourself. And like Kathy said, if you're able to stay with your parents until you're about 25 years old, you should take advantage of that. Try to save your money. If you're working and going to school, save your money, because everything is so expensive right now. I don't even know how young people are going to afford a home the way that they are jacking up the prices and the interest rates. So just have to get started and get a budget plan going on. When they're young, you should teach them about budgeting money. Tell them about what things cost, how much it's going to take for them to live. Let them know that some of the things that they want, if it's not a necessity, that they could always wait on that. These Nike gym shoes, they're going to be here for a while until people realize how ridiculous that is. You know, spend hundreds of dollars for a pair of gym shoes when it probably only costs $5 for them to make it in China. So if you get them in that mindset that they can get some inexpensive shoes and they're going to wear the same way, that's good financial teaching. And you can save a whole lot of money by not buying those Nike gym shoes. You know, Michael Jordan is already rich. He's beyond rich. And so he doesn't need any more money. So stop, you know, parents, stop wasting your money. Instead of spending $200-$300 on a pair of gym shoes, put that in a bank account for your child. So that's about it. I mean, I don't have any little ones. I got some grandchildren. I wish they were close. But I can offer the advice.
Well, that's good. At least you're saving funds for them, so that's a start, and then hopefully their parents will carry it on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to teach them well and let them lead the way, so that's how you teach them and let them lead. Mm-hmm. They could take that over. Mm-hmm. Good information. Yeah. Good information. Yes, good information. Yeah, Tiana, that's Tiana, right? She was she went to community college first.
She went right up here to Schoolcraft. Schoolcraft is where she went. It's not a community college. It's the same place Shania went.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Schoolcraft.
So
okay,
she got
yeah.
right. So she, you know, she transferred. Now she's down.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's down in Nashville. Growing up and just exploring the world and all this and that. So,
That's good. Sometimes you have to do it at home first, and then, you know, you get used to it and get comfortable, then you could go away. So that's great that she did it that way.
And then it gave her mother a chance to get comfortable also about her being gone.
Sometimes
you don't want your daughters to go away, but it let her mother know that she could do her studies and keep up her studies, and it gave them both a chance to, the mom a chance to, you know, let go of a little apron string, and gave Tiana a chance of an idea of what college is going to be like. And she's really enjoying her college life, and everybody should get a chance to enjoy college. Like I said, once you become an adult, everything is really serious.
Mm-hmm. It is.
While you're at home, you got somebody to halfway take care of you until you get grown on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of that.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, good deal. Thanks so much. Happy birthday to you. We said happy birthday to you last Friday, so happy birthday again. Hope you enjoyed your birthday.
Another year with Mr. Jones. Say another year above the ground. Another day above the ground.
For sure. Stay above, sister. Yeah. All right. Well, good deal. Thank you for that. So we'll be looking for you from now on now. I know you're a busy woman, but don't stay away so long.
Can't promise. I'll do what I can do.
All right. Good deal. All right. Pastor O, are you with us?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Hello.
You know, good to be back, and Sister Jackie, and Amen, and Sister Kira. One of the things that she hit on was buying those expensive shoes. I mean, if you keep up with the shoes, you keep up with the phones, you could put yourself through school with the keep up, just trying to keep up with society. And, you know, and what Rebecca was talking about a while ago about children finding out their personalities. Yes.
Pastor, can I interrupt you 1 second if somebody wanted to get in? Okay.
Not a problem.
1 second. I was set at 2736. Hello. Bring back the family. Mic is open. 72736, the last four digits. Do you want to have a word to say?
Wait a minute. Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
There's something called the Michigan Promise Scholarship, and they'll pay. And it's up to $5,000 scholarship, and the grade point average is actually 2.0 and up, and you know that's a scholarship. They have to apply for it like that first Friday in June before then of each year. Whoever's, you know, want to apply for it in 40 hours of community service that they did while they were in high school, but. This is a good way for kids to go to a junior college if they wanted to. And a lot of parents don't know about the Michigan Promise Scholarship. Now, are you familiar with that?
Oh, I have heard of the Michigan Promise Scholarship. Ms. Jackie, have you?
You know what? I'm taking notes right now because Michigan does have quite a few, but you know what? It's, we need people like you to help us get some of these because, you know, we go through so many of them, and we're writing them on notes like I write on a note.
The Michigan Promise Scholarship.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing it down, so I'm going to look it up.
This lady with the twins.
Okay. She's a perfect person to help be on a team with me to help me with this.
Right. I'm going to have to get you a number to call you because I had enrolled my daughter, let me just say this, and she had her first, you know, into community college and it was paid for. But then what happened with her, her dad wanted her to go to some other school. I don't forget, but anyway, whatever, she went somewhere else. But that is available to the students, and if they meet the deadlines, you can go to community college, and you don't have a bill. And the grade point average is 2.0 and up. So, you know.
But you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of times the listening audience or people that is related to them don't know that there are scholarships out there for almost everybody.
Right. As long as you make sure that in June before you graduate, you get all your paperwork in, and it is, you know, it's still available, and a lot
now,
of people don't know about it.
Right. Is that a S? Do they have to have the SAT grades, or is that exempt?
No. I'll look it up again, but I my daughter, I mean, she was a sort of average student. Let me just put it that way. It wasn't, you know, all, you know, she wasn't on the honor roll. But I can't tell you exactly, but because my daughter, you know, she's graduated from years past now.
You know
but
what? I'm going to tell you something. Someone told me once, this was a young lady,
mm-hmm.
and even though she was blind, but she had 3 master's degrees, she's a promising opera singer, gospel singer, and she R&B singer. She has a beautiful voice. And she said to me, she said, "You know what, Jackie, you always get stressed out because you want to get all A's and all A's and B's. You don't want it." She said, "It's not about the A's and B's. It's about the finish line.
Right.
It's about crossing the finish line."
That's
so
right.
Even though the average student, if they cross the finish line and have that passion and desire for what direction they went in, they already are part of it. So that's. And the reason I said that is because I wanted the listening audience to know that this is not just for the 4.0, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. And if you have a pen, I'll give you my number because it's a public number anyway.
Okay, well, here, I got a pencil here.
Okay, you know, it's 313-467-6503.
Okay.
Right. So we want everybody to know that this here, whatever your situation is, let's research it and find something to fit you. Because if you have a glove and it fits perfect, then you will be to enjoy yourself in the field and direction that you're going in. We don't want you to go to school because that's something somebody else wants. We want you to go to school and have a love and a passion and a desire because God opened doors for you, and you have to appreciate your gift. And I'm so thankful that you brought that up, of the 2.0. Because sometimes, you know, we forget to be off the show before we remember everything we need to say. Thank you again.
Right. Okay. I'll be sure keeping in touch. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, the caller with the twins, right, from Georgia.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
great.
Right, right.
Always
definitely.
Good to hear your comments. Keep calling.
All right, certainly.
Okay, thank you. All right, Pastor O. Some
it just gets better and better.
Yes, it does.
Oh, let me say that right. It just gets gooder and gooder.
Gooder and gooder.
Yeah, like I was saying, what Rebecca was talking about earlier speaks to what Suspirus was talking about, that if we help young folks figure out who they are, you know, because there comes a time in their life, it could happen at any time, they start wondering who they are, and then they start looking around, and then they start trying to define themselves by their peers, by the culture, and everything else. But if we can pay attention to them at that time, and as you were saying, it's no real age group, but start helping them to discover who they are, they might not think, "I'm that guy who got to have everything on it with tags hanging off of it." just to have some sort of self-awareness, some self-esteem. But if we teach them, like when I was coming up, it was, you know, all of the, it was the same thing, the Converse, the Kids, or whatever the shoe was, you know, we wanted it, right? Why? Because everybody else had it, and if we didn't have it, then we would look poor. And we didn't want to look poor, so we wanted what they had. But my parents were different. They didn't make us feel like those things made us rich. What made us rich was family. That's what made us rich. What made us rich wasn't that, but that's sort of what you have to instill in them while they're young, so that when they're old, it won't become a problem for them later on to wear. Because you see it in some folks today, they have to buy the things they have. You know, they evaluate themselves by the things they have in their life, by the things they have. If they don't have anything, then they're nothing, and they feel like nothing. But when they have things, temporarily, they feel better about themselves. But then those things are only temporary. If they can learn to feel better about themselves for themselves, then that's a whole lot better. Now, the discussion tonight seemed to go toward, again, helping children to come up. And we all know Proverbs, I think it's 22:6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. And we've had so many examples in the Bible where we saw young folks suddenly thrust into a grown-up situation or to an adult life situation. For instance, when Israel went into captivity. I'm not talking about the 10 tribes when Sennacherib came down and got them in 722 and took them off. You know, what weakened them was not having a relationship, a working relationship with God. They had one. It just wasn't working because they wouldn't do what he said. Right? And so when we do that, we cannot stand up against our enemies. So the 10 tribes went off into captivity. Only two left, Benjamin and Judah. Well, they started clowning too. Wouldn't listen to the Lord. One bad leader after another. And so they end up in captivity as well. And that's where we pick up them Hebrew boys. And I'm glad they call them Hebrew boys. So we'll finally get it in our heads. They weren't Hebrew boy adults. They were Hebrew boys. They were teenagers. They were in their teens when all of this happened. And now they've been separated from their parents. They're on their own. And see, that is that point in life that we're trying to get the young people to, is when they find themselves in those situations. I think somebody was talking about somebody's in college now. They went to community college, and now they're down in, I think, Tennessee or Nashville, somewhere, and they're becoming an adult. They're still working on becoming an adult, but they're exploring life and seeing more things. The success they have and the pitfalls that they overcome are going to be traced all the way back to how much time was put in when they were young. How much education did you give them? How much life education did you give them before they reached that point? Because they're going to, if they keep living, they're going to get there. They're going to find themselves in a place where all they have is the teaching and training they received when they were coming up. I was talking with the Lord while we were discussing this about that little girl who the Arameans captured. I think that's what 2 Kings 5, you remember Naaman the Syrian, he had leprosy. He was a great warrior, okay, great fighter, but he had leprosy. He was rich, he was wealthy, he was influential, but he had leprosy. This little girl who had been captured on one of the Aramean raids of Israel, they would run down there and attack Israel and take people off. Well, this little girl got caught up in it, and now she's a slave in Naaman's house. Because when they would do these raids, they would take their captors and give them to benefactors, people who would benefit them in the long run. The Romans would do the same thing, and that's where you get in, where Stephen got into it with some of the people they called the freed men. These were people who had been captured and given away. Either they would free some of them, and then those who were smart, like doctors and lawyers or whatever, they would give those people to benefactors. And so this girl was given to Naaman's mistress to be a slave. Well, Naaman's wife, which became the little girl's mistress. Anyway, Naaman has leprosy. The little girl is hearing about this. She hasn't forgotten her upbringing. And she remembers that in Israel, her faith is still intact, even though she's become a slave, even though she's separated from her parents and family and friends. Her faith in the Lord is still intact. And when she sees these, even though she has a big problem being a young girl, slave, right, she's not even thinking about that. What she's thinking about is Naaman. She's probably in his house. She watches what he has to go through with leprosy, trying to live with that. And everybody's talking about it. His wife is concerned about it. And so the little girl says to the wife, I wish my master would go to Israel to a man named Elisha, and he can heal him. She has that much faith that if he just goes there, and she's only spoken about in like a couple of verses of the whole story, but she's the hero of the story. And it goes back to, you got to think about her parents, what they instilled in her. She didn't get her faith out of the air. It was something that she was trained up in. And now she finds herself in the situation that I described. But it is her faith that brings great. I'm pretty sure you know the whole story. Naaman went down there. Naaman didn't like it that he had to go dip in the muddy Jordan River, but he finally consented, relented. He did it. He got healed. Everybody happy. How do you think Naaman treated that girl when he went back home? Do you think she was treated like any of the other slave girls? She was a key to his deliverance. How do you think Naaman's wife treated her after that? Okay? And all she did was remember what she knew when she was raised up. Same thing with the Hebrew boys. They were teenagers thrust into a horrible situation. But it was their upbringing that came through for them in the end. You know, you read chapter 1. I think we talked about them in the fiery furnace. But in chapter 1, they find themselves in the king's court. They find themselves being put under a eunuch who is supposed to give them a certain amount of certain kind of food to eat, so go through a certain amount of training so that they look good enough working in the king's court, because if you didn't, the eunuch would be in trouble, they would be in trouble, this would be a great disrespect to the king. But the problem is, because they had been raised by parents who taught them the word of God, they knew that they couldn't eat some of the things on the menu because God had forbidden it. But what do? Oh, they became diplomats. They made a deal with the eunuch and said to him, look, I tell you what. They didn't say, we can't eat that crap. That's garbage. God told us not to eat it. We ain't eat. They didn't go like that. They were more diplomatic than that. They said, hey, let's do a test. For 10 days, let us eat just vegetables. Okay, let us be vegans for 10 days. If we look bad, then we'll eat the regular food so that you don't suffer for us looking bad in front of the king. So the eunuch went along with it. And, of course, because of their faith, God rewarded them because they wanted to do God's will. They wanted to please God in a foreign place. But watch what God did for them, because it worked out. They were tested. They were better than everybody else, right? But this is what God did for them. In verse 15, it says, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. But it goes further. Look what God, now he's not going to give them the gift of tongues. He's not going to give them the gift of helps, gift of service, miracles, the gift of knowledge, any of those gifts. Look how God blesses them. And think about this when you've raised up your children, and now they've gone off to trade school, they've gone off to college, okay? They've gone off to some institution of higher learning. How can God help them then? How can their faith help them then? Well, watch what God did for these Hebrew boys, and watch how he blessed them. And it's not Bible. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God even gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. So God can bless our young people to be good mathematicians. I'll never forget, my wife and I went to see this picture where these, I forget the name of it, but the young, but the women themselves were computers. They were the ones who were doing all of the calculations that was needed to do some of the hardest things that America and Americans have ever done. Excuse me. They were credited putting the first man or man on the moon. And we didn't find that out until we saw that movie. Okay? So God gave them a very special aptitude to where they could think like computers, okay? And even when they came out with the computers, because they could think like computers, they could run them and set it up so that we could have the space program that we have today. So the Lord does not turn everybody into a Bible teacher. Everybody ain't going to be breaking down past the old. God wants to give some people special abilities to run some of the largest companies in the world, to do some of the most awesome things on this planet. Why? Because God gets the glory. I mean, think about it. The king, watch this, when the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. That's what the Lord wants to do. That is the value of training up a child in the way they should go. Okay? The world is going to provide secular education. God can make them good in that. He can make them, give them a, what did he call it, a special aptitude, an unusual aptitude to understand, to get it, for the light to come on before anybody's light even starts lighting up. He can help them in math, science, English, geography, history. I know he can definitely help them in history the way he's helped me in history. He's an enabler. Not just for preachers and Bible teachers, but he's an enabler for people who work all over this world. They work in the government, and God blessed them to be better than everybody else who was working in the government. That way God shines, not their gods, not the gods of the other people they had captured, but the Hebrews' God. Our God. And the same thing that God did for these young people that we talked about Esther last week. We talked about, we mentioned Ruth and her goings on with them. The same thing God did with them, he can do with our youth today. But we need to go right back to, what is it, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go. Be, and you've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again. You're probably going to hear it again too. Be intentional. Be on purpose. Be thinking about the future when you're teaching your children. I love it how it says it. You've heard it before. I'm going to read it again. It's in Deuteronomy. It's chapter 6. It's entitled Wholehearted Commandments. Moses is talking to the second generation, the children of those who came out of Egypt. The ones who came out could never find enough trust in God, so they never did come out and inherit what God had for them. But they said their children would be taken as captives, become slaves of the people in the land that God was giving them. So God said, no, they won't. I'm going to take the children that you said are going to become slaves, and they're going to go in and conquer the land. But as for you, you're going to die in this wilderness, and they did. And so now Moses is talking to that second generation, to the children of those who didn't make it, so that they don't turn out like their parents, but that they turn out to be better. It's a hard conversation to have with their children. They've lost their parents in the wilderness. And now Moses is turning to them and saying, God's going to use you to get the promised land. But listen to what he says to them in Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, the decrees, the regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. So that means when we are teaching our children, when we're training them, we need to teach them and train them for the future that they definitely going to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear, don't use that word the wrong way or think of it the wrong way, look at it as you must reverence the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, and that means you can, you will enjoy a long life. Makes that same promise in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, honor your parents, which is right in the sight of the Lord, so that your days on earth might be long. What that means is the days that God gives you will be good days. Not necessarily a million days, but the days you get will be good days, prosperous days, profitable days. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Here's what you want to hear. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord of long. Teach your kids, there ain't no million gods, just one God. You don't need a million gods, because they would cancel each other out, because they would all have the same power. This one would say, yes, we're going to do this one. This one would say, no, we're not. Nothing would happen. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, because you can. All your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions, because you can. And all your strength, that means your body, because you can. God will not ask you to do something you cannot do. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. That means you can. Repeat them again and again to your children. Children, not teenagers, not adults, but children. Train them up. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands. And wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's what the Lord means when he has me to say to you, be intentional, be on purpose. Do it like you know. Like Mary, she didn't know all there was to know or understand everything the Bible says. She pondered the things she heard from the angels in her heart. That means she didn't really understand them. She thought about them. But she raised Jesus intentionally. Why? Because she knew from the angel who he was going to be. And so she raised him knowing he was going to be that. Raise your child like you know your child is going to be Martin Luther King. Raise your child like you know your child is going to be John F. Kennedy. Raise your child like you think of a person who is great as an adult, but parents had no idea when they were children. Do you think Barack Obama's parents would have treated him like they did if they knew he was going to be the first black president? Raise them like they're going to become the CEO of one of the largest companies in America. Raise them like, because you don't know, but God didn't send them into this world to be less than. He sent them here to be more than. Why? Because they are more than just human beings. They're God's children. So raise them up like they're going to be more than. Moses is talking to these people and telling them to get ready, and this is how you get ready, get your children ready to inherit what God has for you. And that's how we should raise our children today. And like Kat said a while ago, just because you're not the one who fathered or mothered them, okay, does not mean you're not a part of the village where they live and you don't have any responsibility for them. Yes, you do. We're all teachers. Whenever we come into their presence, we're all teachers. What are we teaching them? When they walk away from us, if somebody asks them, what did you get from them? What will they say? What did you learn from them when you were over their house? What did you learn? What will they say? They learned from you, from me, from us. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they will not depart from it. The most perfect example in the Bible of that is the prodigal son, the one Jesus told the story about. He was raised up in the way he should go, but he went straight off when he became an adult or got old enough to ask his father for his inheritance or crazy enough. He got it before his father died and took his journey into a far country. And he tried to live a life that he was not raised up to live. But what saved his life, when he had gotten to that low point in his life where he was about to eat the food that pigs were eating, it was looking good. That's how low he got. And he come from a father who was rich. But now he's down here, he's a Jew with pigs. And that's as if it wasn't bad enough. He wants to join in the meal with them. But he came to his senses, and he remembered his father's house. He remembered that his father had servants, and his servants was better off than him. So he decided he'd go back home and be one of them. But he was saved because he could remember. When our children need to remember so they can straighten their lives out, get it together, what will they remember? Will they remember how it was in their father's house? And what was it like when they were at home with you? Is what you taught them, will it save them? Will it turn them around? Will it bring them out? Didn't say they wouldn't take off into a far country because you raised them upright. But it means when they get into a real tight spot, when God put them in just the right spot, when they think of how it was and how they were taught when they were coming up, what will they think? What did you teach them? You know, one of the scariest things is raising children. And then that time comes when they have to go somewhere and you can't go. They're going to have to be somewhere and you're not there. All you can rely on to give you any comfort is that I raised them right. Did you raise them right? Did you raise them right? Amen. Amen. Train them up.
Amen. Amen.
Train them up in the way they should go. And when they get older, they got something to hold on to. It's the things that my father taught me when I was coming up that I hated. I am so glad he taught me them things, you know, how to put in a water heater. You know, you don't have to call somebody. You know how to do that. If you want to lay some tile, you know how to do that. I don't like doing it, but I know how to do it. So many things he taught me saved me big money to this day that I don't have to hire somebody. And then I know when I need to hire somebody. So all of those things, the Bible, teach them the Bible, and then help them in their secular studies so that they're balanced. They got the Bible. The Hebrew boys had the Bible, but they weren't in Babylon teaching Bible classes. They were working in the government, but their Christian values, okay, stayed with them while they worked in the Babylonian government. And because they worked in the government, God blessed them to be smarter and have more wisdom than everybody else around them in the government. And what happened? They just kept getting promoted. Daniel even ended up, after his little deal with Belshazzar, who lost the kingdom to Cyrus, okay, he even gave Daniel a gold chain. So train up a child in the way they should go and be intentional about it. Do it like you know you're raising somebody great. You know, you have no idea who the Lord has given you. You have no idea when you're pouring into this child that lives next door to you who you're pouring into. They're going to grow up one day. They're going to become, somebody had to be Medgar Evers, right? Somebody had to be Rosa Parks, right? Somebody had to be, think of somebody you know. And now think back to their childhood. Somebody was being intentional when they were children. Somebody looked at them. You know how Moses' mama looked at Moses, and she wouldn't toss him into the river and kill him or let the Egyptians kill him? But the Bible says she saw something in him. And so she took the risk of setting him out on the Nile, floated him right down to Pharaoh's house, and he was raised up in Pharaoh's house. But before that, Pharaoh paid for Moses' mother to nurse him and to raise him for those first few years where she could instill the word of God in him. And then he went into Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh's own daughter raised up his destruction. Do you think Pharaoh, when he saw that little boy running around with his daughter, thought one day this boy going to destroy this kingdom? But Moses' mother saw it, and she was intentional about training him up in the way he should go, and she didn't get to keep him for long. But when he went to Pharaoh's house, he knew who he was. He knew who he was. I know these Bible movies play it off like he had to figure out who he was. But when he got older, he went out among his own people. How did he know they were his people? Amen. That's a long story, though. But amen. But you get the point. Be intentional. Jacob was intentional about Joseph. And look at what Joseph became, prime minister of Egypt, which they later tore up, but still, that was God's business. But be intentional. Train them up in the way they should go. And then let the Lord put his hand on them and make them whatever he wants them to be. And don't always think they're going to be a preacher or a deacon or, okay, somebody has to run these companies.
That's right. Leaders.
Great leaders. Somebody got to be the mayor. Somebody got to be the president.
Yeah. You got to put it in them. You're going to get out what you put in. For sure.
Exactly. And if you put nothing in, that's exactly what you get out.
Mm-hmm. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. That's the song.
I know. We
it's
still
real.
Didn't get it.
It's <know. laughs> real.
Who was that, Billy Preston? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. That's real.
You gotta have something
you
gotta if you want to.
That's right.
You gotta do
if you
want
to be with me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Those are songs we need to share with these kids. Just
I know, we
them.
Had
get some of those oldie but goodies and just blast them with it.
Even our songs had wisdom in them.
Mm-hmm, they did. Yeah, so what will they remember? Love that. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that they can spread their wings and get lost. That's what I like. And, you know, when we look back and look how happy we are, you know, now in the present with what our parents gave and what they did for us. That's the truth. We get a chance to look back and, you know, that helped our future.
It did because
out there. Mm-hmm.
Me and my brothers used to get so mad and say, why can't we be like the other kids? They out playing. We over here digging a garden like we farmers. We not farmers. Why are we, you know, why do we have to learn how to, everybody else have people come and put their porch in. Why are we over here building a porch?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody else buy barbecue pits. Why are we buying cinder blocks and grates and rake? Because
wow.
He taught us how to make these things. He
right.
taught us everything. We hated it then. But when you don't have to hire somebody to do every little thing,
mm-hmm.
Then you see how valuable, and he knew, and he used to say it too, because one day you're going to be grown, and you're going to need to know how to do all this.
Yep.
But we never even envisioned ourselves owning a house or owning a car or having a lawnmower, none of that. But he taught us all of that, and now all of us have all of that, and we live the same life he lived.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Put it out there, because you guys, the overall boys are supposed to have their own company building.
Yes, indeed. We went. I went into business. I had to go into business because I was a horrible employee. So I had to learn how to. I had to go into business because I tried working for people for 15 years or so, and it just did not work. But my brothers, you know, they all did like my father, went into the plant, made good money because they were paying good money, and, you know, until, not like these days, but they were paying good money, and then started going into law enforcement and everything else, and we turned out to be just like them.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that goes to show you. They watch what you do. Do what you do.
Yeah, I mean, really, it pays off.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, they watch, and we do everything like my father and like my mother did.
Mm-hmm. And we do, too. We mark them really bad. It's like I'm looking at my dad. When I get up and look in the mirror, I'll be like, "Ooh, good morning, Dad."
Exactly, you know. That's my
you
brother
walk
John.
You like him, you talk like him, you look like
mm-hmm.
him.
That's John. He's the senior man in the family, so that would be him.
Mm-hmm. Very helpful, too. See, he gave y'all all those gifts, and everybody needs you to do them all.
He did, yeah. All the mechanics. You know, all kind of home repairs. I mean, he never hired anybody to do anything, and every time we complained, he said, as long as I got you six boys and you three girls, I ain't got to hire nobody for nothing.
That's it. That's the way we do it. That's the way it's supposed to be done, so they can have a good look and have a good life. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, thanks once again, Pastor O, all that good, just down home teaching and learning and doing. Yeah.
I just thank my father so much and mother. You know, both of them together were a powerful team, you know, and they were very intentional, and we had no idea when we were coming up. But once we got up, every time we were able to do something or have something, it's traced right back to what they taught us. Everything, and all of us are exactly like them. We followed in their footsteps.
Yep. I can relate. That's why I said, boy, Mom and Daddy was a heck of a team. They really worked together. It was just so cool. And, yeah, we do everything that they do. It's amazing.
You know, it just, right, they have a real strong influence. I mean, two parents influence nine kids.
Yeah, they did their job. And then it carried on to the next generation, the next kids. They just, you know.
It just kept going.
Yeah, kept going. And that's the job, to keep it going. Make a way for the next generation so they could keep going. That's refreshing. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get on my sister to write that book that she said she's going to write about family. So, let me see. We got a couple of announcements. I got a niece that's missing. Her name is Sydney Morrow. And she is 27 years old, 5 feet, 5 tall, 110 pounds. You never know when it's going to hit your own home front. And she's been missing since, I think, the October the 3rd. And so it's on Facebook, and just share it if you see it on there, Sydney Morrow. So our hearts and prayers go out, you know, and just praying that she comes home safely. Tomorrow, let me see if you have any information, 248-739-6508. That's 248-739-6508. And that's Sydney Morrow. And then tomorrow is the Carmano Breast Cancer Walk. Dining Heart Plaza tomorrow from 8 to 11, and we're going to be walking with our niece, Angelita Cox. She is 3 years breast cancer survivor, and so that's tomorrow morning from 8 to 11, Making Strides for Detroit Heart Plaza tomorrow, October the 7th, 2023, from 8 a.m. to 11. So we'll be out there walking with our niece, Angelita. She always do things top notch. She has her boxing gloves on, and she's TKO breast cancer 3-0. So cancer is 0, and she is 3. So we're going to keep on praying for her good health. Okay, so that's tomorrow. Carmano's Cancer Walk downtown, breast cancer downtown, Heart Plaza. All right, keep that in mind. Support. Let me see. And then we have church. If you don't have a church to attend, you're welcome to come to Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. And so tomorrow is Saturday school, and that's right here on Blog Talk at 9 a.m. for Saturday school, and then 10 o'clock worship service. Same number you call in for this show, you call in for that service on tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And then Sunday at the River Ridge High School, 9 o'clock Sunday school and 10 o'clock worship service. You're welcome to join us if you have no
church service or home to call home. I think Jonathan Tate will be the minister for tomorrow preaching Saturday church, and then Sunday it'll be our very own Pastor Rowe. Correct?
Yes, we're going to be talking about the resurrection three different ways. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Christ. We're going to talk about the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of the body.
Come on out and join us. We have a good time. We really do. And that's at the River Ridge High School. Okay, and I think, and I hope that's it. Anybody else have anything else? Yeah, and that announcement is on Facebook for Sydney Marr that's missing. So if you want to share that on your page, we would appreciate that very, very much. So, yeah, teach them well and let them lead the way. If we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping later. So let's do the best that we can to help our youth and get them on their way to success so that they can have a good look. Thanks. Let me see. I think that's it. Okay. Well, thank everybody for tuning in. We appreciate you. Good show. Thank you, Jackie. Rebecca, Callie, Miss Pierce, and my friend with the twins, and Pastor O, and everybody that tuned in. We appreciate you, and we will see you next Friday, same time, same place. As Pastor O say, if the Lord say so. Right. So. My dad said, if it's the Lord's will, I say yes. If it's the Lord's will, we will see you next Friday, same time, with another great show. Okay. All right. That's it. That's all. Work to do. Much work to do.